The Fan on Demand. If Bob didn't say it, then it probably ain't true. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie. Bob McCown. Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Primetime Sports, Tuesday, July 29th. I'm Sid Sixero in for the vacationing Bob McCown. Bob is back next Tuesday. Elliot Friedman has come in, dressed to the nines. I wish I could just have a t-shirt on like that today. I really do.
You could, although there was one time, like this t-shirt I wear a lot when I play cards, and it generally is good luck for me. So I wore it today to the taping the NHL alumni poker tournament, and Scott Moore was there saying hello to everybody, and he made a crack like, you're wearing that on television? So I realized very quickly that I don't even know which one he is, thing one or thing two, but whichever thing he is. Did not like it for TV.
To me, he's thing amazing.
Thing amazing? Okay.
I'm in no position to say anything else. So basically what you're telling me is your contract's already been ripped up. And that's you're right. Not coming to Rogers.
It's already gone. If the baseball discussion didn't do it yesterday, that just did. But it's generally the shirt I wear when I play cards. So
this is the...
And you can't wear a logo.
You can't wear a logo with these things.
No logos, unless it's a sponsored logo.
So you can't look like a NASCAR driver when you walk in.
No,
just have Castrol everywhere.
No.
So this is the commercial I always see on Rogers from last year where Sansoni is next to Phil Kessel.
Yes.
Saying, I got to tell you, I hope a 9 comes out here. That's good TV. So are you going to get in the promo? That's the only reason I bring that up, because that promo is going to get run incessantly. And I'm hoping you are in it, and Scott Moore may or may not be walking in now.
This is what I do, by the way. I pass Sid's coffee when I come here.
Thanks, Rich.
I have no idea if I'm going to be using a promo or not.
Okay, well, hopefully the powers that be get Elliot in the promo for this highly rated poker event with NHLPA.
Yeah,
so you can't tell me results.
No,
right? You
no,
can't
I was because I gladly would have come on and told you how well I did, but they made sure to say to me, you can't tell anyone because we're not airing it until December.
Okay, say nothing if you want.
Yeah, I was at a table with, I think I'm allowed to say this, with Brad May and Matthew Barnaby and Darcy Tucker, who's a very intense player, takes it very seriously. Jonathan Duhamel, the World Series of Poker champion. And also they had a gentleman by the name, I don't know what his last name is, his first name was Dan. He won the opportunity online.
Okay.
To play in the tournament.
Those are the guys you got to worry about.
Yes, 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 they are.
Those are guys who are good.
Yes, and it was just funny because I don't play a lot of hold'em poker. I find it very boring.
You are a very pretentious card player, aren't you? I think you're better than everyone else.
No, like, I don't think that. I certainly didn't think that today. And I certainly don't think that. But the thing is that I don't like to fold. And
you got to know when to hold'em.
In Texas hold'em, you have to fold a lot. So
And you want to play.
Yeah. When I play with my buddies, and we play poker, we used to play a lot more than we do now. We try to get together every few months. But I like to play hands that you should fold. I'm like, I don't care. I'm having fun. I want to play. I want to see what happens.
What happens with this 2-7 offsuit?
Yes.
Well, I'm feeling good about this.
That one I'll fold. Okay. I didn't get in any of those today.
Okay, give me a bad hand you'll play, though. Like, what's a bad hand Elliot Friedman would play in Texas Hold'em?
You know what? Sometimes I would play like a 3-6 to see if I draw the inside
just,
straight.
See how it goes.
What happens? Let's
see which way the wind
is blowing.
What's
the most you could lose?
All right.
Things like that. And so I was definitely out of my... element a bit today, and there's no question that I realized very quickly that all the other people at the table were much better versed in strategy of Texas Hold'em than I was. And I thought, for the most part, I did okay, but I realized almost right when I did them that I made a couple of major errors. Like, I was sitting next to Duhamel, and
he just goes, oh.
Well, no, it's funny. Like, there was, it came to me, and I called and didn't raise. And when I said it, I was like, oh boy, he's going to nail me for that. And he immediately raised me. And I looked at him, and he goes, yeah, if you're not going to raise, I'm going to. And, it's just those things that if you don't regularly play the game, you know, you're going to get hooped. It was great. It was great, though. I had a good
Did
time.
You play by feel or analytics?
I went by the eye test.
So Darcy Tucker is a kind of intense guy at a table.
A good player.
Who else would you characterize as intense playing Texas Hold'em?
Not surprisingly, I think Tucker was probably the most intense guy at our table.
All right, that's fair.
But it was a good group. Like, okay. you know what they were really good at? Like, I probably said a lot less than I normally would because I was trying to concentrate on doing the proper things. But those guys, Barnaby May and Tucker, they did a good job of keeping the conversation going. They told some really good stories.
All right. And this airs
in December? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Look for Elliot Friedman.
So I'll look good by then.
Okay. Well, don't blink in the broadcast. You may miss Friedge at a table.
No.
Going all in on a 3-6 off suit.
That's right. 3-6 off suit. All in. The guy all had in. Pocket aces. Who could have known?
When last you and I were in this room, we knew something was up with the Jays.
How about that last night? That was hilarious.
I ran into someone earlier today and said, my God, I thought they were getting George Brett.
Well, you were really selling it.
It's amazing. Well, you don't know. We don't know what's about to happen. I am selling the unknown. It's like an X-Files episode.
Sid, we knew it was not a big deal.
Are you insulting Aerocrats? I know you're not.
I'm not insulting Aerocrats. I'm just recognizing that while he is on a much higher level of the athletic plane than I am, it's not the highest level of the athletic plane.
What is telling Jays fans listening or watching this show?
Oh, you were selling it like it was like, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of that guy who's like, it's 54-0 at halftime in the football game, and somehow you've got to sell the second half. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Broncos are famous for their comebacks. Don't turn out.
Oh, we got team records on the line in the second half.
Team records on the lines.
Well, they said
it was not a big deal. And you really sold it. It was great.
But I think we did a good job of selling it.
Yeah, it was really good.
So Danny Valencia is the guy. Danny Valencia, an infielder who hasn't played a ton of games this season, primarily a third baseman, can hit left-handed pitching, which the Jays right now are worst in the American League at, hitting left-handed pitching. I don't anticipate.
Although they tuned him up last night.
Oh, yes, they did.
Melky destroyed someone's car.
A Honda. And then they went to the Got Glass ad. Mm-hmm. On the facade, it was well done.
It was good TV.
Did the guys putting the highlight pack together do that, or did the guys in the truck in Boston do that? I didn't see the second
Doug
home run.
Walton
live.
Was producing, and I used to work for Doug, so I know it probably wasn't him.
Doug, I love you. Anytime you want to show me in a broadcast, go ahead. I'm with you. We're gonna get into the trade stuff. Yeah, let's bask in the glow of that.
Okay,
Melky and what happened there.
I was watching last night. How much do you think Melky's going to get this year?
Well, I kind of brought it up last hour. He's going to be too rich for this team's blood, I think.
You think 3 years, $45 million?
This is Major League Baseball we're talking about.
Flush with cash.
The Jays took a flyer after he had a rough go.
Okay. By the way, who's on the show? I don't have a line.
Oh, hold on. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Stephen Brunt's going to join us in 7 minutes. So we'll talk baseball and Bears.
Okay.
The killer bees. Paul Jones will join us. We'll talk. Is this it for Steve Nash? Lakers have a new head coach, and they sold out LeBron's unveiling on August the 8th. It's not sold out; it's free tickets. 27,000 in Akron.
Nice.
August 8th. So we'll talk about that. Rob Becker will join us. We'll talk Sterling. I know you really want to talk about Donald Sterling.
So tired. I have never
nearly threw up in his mouth when I mentioned Donald Sterling.
Who cares? Good riddance.
And the NCAA lawsuit where they're going to pay $70 million not to players. They're just going to test them. It's so NCAA. And Joe Siddle will be joining us from Fenway Park. Speaking of Joe Siddle.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview last night with Casey Jansen.
I had missed this. I normally have one direction going in the car driving home, and that's how I unwind.
You're listening to Hits One?
Hits One. There I'm strictly Kiss 92.5 driving home. Shout out. Rosin Mocha on the pot. But I missed this Casey Jansen, Joe Siddle clip last
night. Yeah,
you
stole my opening segment.
I didn't steal anything. A producer suggested that we
call Ryan. I say, Ryan, get this clip. And then he goes, I found it. And by the way, I'm giving it to Sid.
Well, and I appreciate it. So thank you very much, Friedge. But we'll play it one more time. Again, this was pregame Joe Siddle with Casey Jansen talking about the field of play, what the Jays are doing in it right now, and what it could translate into off the field before Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern.
I think the trade deadline hasn't been what it was for us until this year, where you know, we're actually looking to add and hopefully add a nice piece that's going to, you know, help us get to the top of our division. We're working our butts off as a team, and you know, I can't say this enough, but we hope that our front office is working their butts off to improve this club as best they can and give us a fighting chance to make this a special season.
Again, that was Casey Jansen with Joe Siddle in the pregame before yesterday's broadcast of the Jays and Red Sox. Your first reaction to that, Elliot, was what?
Players think like the fans do. Let's do something. We may never get this chance again.
I'm with you. Like, how many guys in that clubhouse have really been in a position like this? And I know we're still technically July.
No, it doesn't matter. You're in the race.
You're in the race.
You're in the race.
But how many guys in that room have been in races? Like, Burley's obviously been in a race.
Yep. He won a World Series.
Who else? Melky kinda in San Francisco.
Yeah, before he got suspended.
Before the
rest of the team was in a race, but yeah, he wasn't.
He was in a race to get suspended, it looks like. But there are not a lot
not
of guys.
A lot of guys.
Nope. Dickey, nope. The rest of them are young. The rest of them are inexperienced. So this is, you're right. Like, from a fan's perspective, they are as excited as everyone else.
They're saying, look at this.
Are you okay? Like, some people might try and sensationalize that. Are you cool with the tenor of that from Casey Jansen? I'm fine with it.
If you listen to it, he's asked the question, he's giving his answer. I hope we go for it. But I think what's interesting is if they don't do anything, whether it's by Thursday or by August 31st, that team, like if we talked yesterday, how disappointed the fan base is going to be. That team's going to be disappointed.
The guys in the clubhouse.
The guys in there are going to be disappointed. And that's where, like, I remember doing an interview once with Robin Ventura back when I was still covering baseball. And it was the year after the White Sox were 3.5 games behind the Cleveland Indians. And this was the mid to late 90s. And the Indians were the juggernaut in the Central then. And the White Sox were 3.5 games out, and they traded a bunch of guys. And the GM and the owner basically said, you know, we were close, but we didn't think we were good enough. And Ventura would leave the White Sox not long after that. And I remember doing a sit down with him, and he talked about and said, I thought the whole idea of baseball was trying to win, and we don't want to win. And I always remembered that because players may keep their thoughts private, but they think a lot of the same way as fans do. They want to win every year. Every year they want to win. And maybe they'll understand that maybe for a year they can't win, but that doesn't mean we can't win the next year. They know that their chances of winning are generally very tiny, so they want to win every year. And these guys who play for the Blue Jays see what's going on this year, and he's not trying to rock the boat. He's just trying to say right now, God, I hope we go for it because we may never get this chance again.
When I hear a guy like Jansen say that, I wonder what a guy like Batista is thinking. Because at the last few All-Star games, it's almost become an annual rite of the All-Star game. The Toronto guys corner Jose and try and get him going on, do you want to be a buyer or seller? Like, what are you guys? Like, what do you expect your GM to do come these deadlines? And he's consistently, he's been a cross between conservative because they haven't really been in it, or he wants to be aggressive. And you're right. Like, I think he's Casey Jansen speaks for a lot of guys in that room.
Absolutely.
And considering what Jose
Batista's
already done.
He said it's so matter of fact that you know that everybody in there thinks that.
Jose Batista has played three different positions since getting healthy, since coming back, since everyone went down. I mean, he's doing literally everything he can to make sure this team is in a position to succeed. And guys like that would take it. I think you're right. Guys like that would really go, what is going on here? If Danny Valencia is the only guy that's brought in between now and Thursday.
Matt Sundin was the guy who would never answer that question. Or at least if he did, I couldn't remember it in researching it last night. Like, I remember when people used to ask Sundin, do you ever go to Pat Quinn and say, this is who I want to play with or I'd like to play with? Or I remember there was once a report that he went to management and said, can we get this player? And he denied it as strongly as I ever heard him deny anything, that he really believed that it was a player's job to play and not to interfere, at least publicly. He would never, if you asked him publicly, he would say, that's not my job. And the Maple Leafs were very lucky because they're, you know, they were close enough times under him that he could have said something, but he never did. That Jansen quote and the way it was said, and so matter of fact, you can tell they're all sitting there as a group. They're all talking about it. They're all saying, God, I hope they go out and get us a guy because we've got a chance. And it was funny, on MLB.com today, they asked some of their reporters, what's maybe the bombshell move that you think will happen? And Phil Rogers, who's a longtime baseball reporter based out of Chicago, his pick was John Lester and Andrew Miller to Toronto.
And McAuliffe had had Rogers on.
Yeah.
Not long after that. And it's an interesting time because, you know, based on what you're reading, a lot of people are saying if you're not the Yankees in the AL East, they will trade with you. Although I don't believe they trade with Tampa considering what's gone on in recent history with those
two. As long as they just throw at each other.
Just throw at each other. They're fine. The Sundin thing is interesting, though. We'll get back on baseball quickly. But the Sundin, you know, he didn't want to interfere with that kind of stuff. But I remember moments with Sundin. Like, do you remember the one Leaf season that wrapped up and the big thing post facto was how one half of players went to the one bar and the other guys went? It was the most ridiculous story. And there have been plenty of ridiculous Leaf stories. Mm-hmm. That one ranks pretty high. So the next preseason, I think they were in Sweden for 4 days or something like that. Matt's asked the local guys to meet me in a park. Meet me in a park. Off the record, meet me in a park. And basically for the next 30 minutes, as politely as he could, say, this is ridiculous. Let's focus on let's keep our eyes on the prize here. None of this stuff matters. Like, you guys are making it matter. Come on. So, like, there's inference with Sundin that he was always a hands-off guy and just kind of did his own thing and whatever. But there were moments where Matt's really kind of tried to grab control of the situation, and people wouldn't really have known it.
The best story ever, you asked the people who used to cover with him, and I know we're on a segue now, was the angriest he ever got at them was when it was reported he was engaged, and that was incorrect.
Yeah. What year was this?
I don't remember what year it was, but they will tell you about it. They were in St. Louis, and one of the papers had reported that he was engaged, and he had to come right to them and say, you know, I'm not engaged. And he was furious.
Well, especially if you're the significant other who's not in that initial grouping.
Could be. He had a girlfriend at the time, but...
Honey, what is with this report?
Yeah, you're engaged?
No. Sources indicate.
I'm sure he probably got it more from the parents and her parents.
Yes, I agree. Elliot Friedman, Sid Sixera here on Primetime Sports. Stephen Brunt will be joining us momentarily. There is speculation, like Fried thrown out there, like we talked about last hour, that there could be a marriage here between the Jays and a pretty high profile name, maybe in the division. We'll get Fried's thoughts on that as we bring Stephen Brunt into the discussion. Stephen, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Is it still a bear market out where you are?
Well, you know, we thought we were going to get him last night because it was garbage night, but the boys came up and rebaited the trap with some extra stuff, but the day dawned and there is no sign of him. So the bear has outsmarted all of us.
Do you think that maybe he brings like a whole bunch of other bears and points to this trap you set up and said, you think and laugh and say that's what they think is going to get me?
I think there is an element of that, you know, because we have like, you know, at one end of the driveway, there's this garbage box, which is, you know, the bears seem to quite like the garbage boxes around here because they're not just ours. They've torn apart about six of them right now up and down the bay here. Mm-hmm. And clearly garbage boxes are full of things that bears want, i.e. garbage, because these are bears that, you know, until they closed the dump, lived in the dump for the last 20 years. So that's right next to this big, stupid-looking cage on a trailer with a sign on it saying, you know, danger bear trap with a loaf of bread and some molasses in it. So if they're smart at all, I think they've got this thing figured out.
Now, just so you know, Stephen, you're not the only person having animal trouble. According to CBC News, a beaver has been blamed after a tree hit a car on a highway, and the RCMP say, quote, the beaver is still at large. So I'm trying to decide who is the bigger criminal right now. Like on Canada's Most Wanted, is it Brunt's bear or the tree-chopping beaver?
I like it.
Being more chased.
So the beaver chopped the tree in front of the car?
Yeah. It was a pretty big beaver.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah. I guess it was as chopping away at the tree, and the tree eventually fell. It was a family of four visiting PEI from Quebec. What is it with your animals out east?
Well, yeah, but that one is unique, I've got to say. Like bears eating garbage is not that unique, but That the other one is a first for me.
Steve, let's be honest. It's just McCowan in a disguise messing with you. Like, we all know that's what's going on here.
I could see that.
Like, he'll just go, he'll take it off one day and go, pant load.
Just rooting around. Well, that would, of course, that would involve him being here.
That's true. That's, I'm taking a leap of faith there.
Yeah, that's a rather large leap, as you know.
Steve, take another leap of faith with us.
Okay.
And let's go down this this John Lester road. Your percentage that this could happen for the Jays.
Well, it's been interesting today as the things kind of gain momentum. I would have, if you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said, there was zero chance of it happening. Now, Boston wasn't quite dead and buried, but, until the PV trade, I guess, when you knew they were throwing in the towel, there was still kind of a sense that they might hang on a little bit and try and win this year rather than getting rid of assets.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's intriguing because he's a pure rental, because that would, in theory, mitigate the cost, because, with Price probably off the market and Samardzija already gone, he would be by far the best guy that we know is available.
Mm-hmm.
There may depends what Philadelphia does, but right now he would kind of fit in terms of a rental where you maybe wouldn't have to sell the farm to get him, where he would become a front of the rotation guy instantly. But it's still a tough calculation, isn't it? What are we talking about in terms of the cost for a guy who, at the end of the year, is going to be a free agent and may well wind up right back in Boston?
Oh, well, let me put the scenario on the table then for the both of you. Freeze, starting with you.
Okay.
If it's not anyone named Stroman, would you do it?
Well, I don't know if I trade. I don't know that I would move Stroman or Sanchez.
No, that's what I mean.
Stroman's gone.
Yeah, like
now.
What
You've
I mean
lost
is
your
Stroman's off the table.
Yeah.
If it's Sanchez, if it's Hutchinson, if it's Nolan, if it's a combination of the three, do you think about it?
I'm pretty excited about what I've seen of Hutchinson and Sanchez. And again, in terms of the kind of future of the franchise, I know people want to think, it's about this year, but. Controllable guys, pitchers like that who you're going to be able to control for the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're looking more down into the low minors here, and the question's not going to be those guys. The question's going to be Norris,
yep,
or Osuna or Pompey or those kind of players, some of whom may be, Norris is a guy who, looks like he could be on a fast track as well. Osuna's a guy coming off Tommy John who's just barely back pitching. He's still a teenager, but again, one of the guys, I know a lot of people. I remember talking to Mel Didier about him. He was more excited about Osuna than he was about anybody else in the Jays system. But when you're dealing guys who are playing in the low minors, obviously the chance of them not making it is pretty high.
Yeah.
I would be loath to deal guys who are, either in the major leagues or right on the verge of the major leagues. I don't know that there's enough upside for me to do that if I'm Alex Anthopoulos.
And this is kind of the way I look at it, Steve. And you can tell me if you think this makes sense or it's completely moronic. But when you look at all of the trades in the last 20, 25 years, how many deals in baseball do you look at where you say the team trading the prospect for the established player got the better of the deal? There aren't many.
No.
I think if you're looking at low minors and you've already got Stroman and you look like you're going to have Sanchez, I think you're ahead of the game and you take your shot.
Well, you might be. You're right. And again, the guy may, a guy who's pitching in Double A right now or who is in A ball right now is a long way in theory from the major leagues. A lot of things can happen between now and then, and all of us could list a bunch of highly regarded prospects, can't miss guys who missed. It does happen, mm-hmm. Or they get hurt or something happens. And they're not all going to play for you anyway in any case, because that's why you accumulate them. You accumulate them to some degree to deal them. But, the other side of that is, we would have been having the same conversation a little while ago about Stroman and Sanchez,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even about Hutchinson. And when you see them in the flesh, when you see the way Stroman has settled in as a major league starter this year, when you see the kind of stuff that Sanchez has, you say, man, there's a reason people are excited about these guys. They're really good. When you got a guy who's going in there touching 98, 99 and has a curveball like Sanchez does as well, you say, man, there's a reason people are excited about this guy. So, it's fine to say deal the future for the present. And I do think Lester is a guy, one of the few guys we've talked about who is, you know, is a game changer, right? He's a guy that if you put him out there every fifth day, you know, obviously somebody's going to have to sit down from what has become a pretty good rotation, but you know, they're going to need depth, and they're going to have to watch Stroman's innings, and they're going to have to do all kinds of things. But it's, you know, this is, look, this is what they pay Alex Anthopoulos. This is kind of this is his moment.
Yep.
In a lot of ways. This is his moment.
More than two off seasons ago, Steven, you think?
What was that?
More than two off seasons ago when it all went down?
Yeah.
You think this is the defining?
Oh, yeah, no question, because he's got a chance here.
But if they don't give him the money, is it really the defining moment? I mean, if he's hamstrung,
well,
how defining is it?
Well, we don't know. You know, hamstrung, you know, because, you know, it's about, you're taking on rental money, short-term money. You're not taking on any back-end money. You know, there might be a way to fiddle that a little bit. Reading the tea leaves, it sounds like, you know, they almost have to be kind of payroll neutral here, that if they take on money, they've got to get rid of money. And I think that they would be, my guess is that they would be willing to, you know, if they had a guy who was going to be here in 2015 or 2016, they would worry about that in 2015 and 2016. Mm-hmm. Say, we'll make it fit down the road when we've dealt with or not dealt with Rasmus and not dealt with Melky and maybe tried to move Burley or tried to move Dickey. And, you know, a lot of things can happen next year and the year after that where your payroll number could come in around the same place. But, you know, I think I would assume that Alex Anthopoulos could go to ownership or Paul Beeston could go to ownership and say, this is, you know, you have the prorated back end of John Lester's contract for the remainder of this season, and here's what we think he can do. You know, if you put that together with where they are right now, which is in a playoff spot, where they are in the division, which is right behind Baltimore, you know, in terms of the money, you should be able to make that case. If you can't make that case, I'm not quite sure what's going on.
You know, the other thing, too, is, so there's a lot of GMs in baseball who can't take on salary, and they find ways to get things done.
I hear you. I hear you.
To me, that's not an excuse. Now, what about, what do you think, Steve, about Bartolo Colon?
Well.
And who does have money next year.
Yeah, he does, and he's had a crazy good year. You know? And
lightning in a bottle, National Leaguer, I don't know what to think of him.
Yeah, well, you've got to convince me that he's better than one of the five guys they're trotting out right now. And, you know, the other thing we all have to contemplate is, you know, the starting pitching has been better than the worst case scenarios going into the season. You know, even without a true ace, maybe Marcus Stroman's the ace right now. But, you know, if you look at where they have been as, you know, in terms of rotation statistically, they've held the team in games. You know, that hasn't been the issue. But, you know, do we believe, you know, what Stroman's innings limit, pitch limit going to be as the season goes on? Same, you know, obviously they're going to hold Sanchez in the bullpen to try and limit that. Hutchison, don't quite know, you know, has looked great or looked not so great, kind of alternate starts lately. J-Hop has been terrific of late, but, you know, do you really want to go to the bank with that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Colon's that's a different conversation. You know, I think with John Lester, you kind of say, okay, there's, you know, we bring him in here, he's our number one guy.
Yep.
And I don't think Colon's your number one guy or your number two guy. I'm not sure what he is.
Yeah, three or four at best, maybe even lower.
Any interest in the room or on the phone? I mean, if you're on the phone with Boston and you're there and you're talking to Charrington, John Lackey's in a contract here. John Lackey's 35 years old. He's been through some wars.
Yep.
Is he a decent, cheaper option potentially Steve?
You know, he could be. You know, it's interesting. You know, the notion of the Jays talking to Boston is kind of hard. You know, it's kind of hard to contemplate, right?
Agreed.
But again, if you kind of look at what Boston, you know, what Boston's doing here, they're going to take something for not a whole lot. You know, they're out of it now. Again, they've given up on this season. And, you know, in the case of Lester especially, you're going to would be dealing away a guy who they have every intention of trying to sign again in the offseason. So, you know, it's kind of found money, isn't it? You know, if they could get a couple of prospects for him, doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter if they come from Toronto or anywhere else. You know, they might not trade him to the Yankees, but, you know, it's not like you're going to strengthen Toronto down the road necessarily. You're probably going to weaken them down the road.
Final
take away prospects.
Final question, Steve. If you are writing headlines for 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the Sportsnet website on Thursday, right after the deadline, and obviously the Jays is the lead either way, what headline do you think you would be writing?
It's not going to be quite Stan Pat. I think they may. I still think they may try and deepen trade for bullpen depth, but I don't think a blockbuster's coming. You know, I think right now they're going to let their guys get healthy and take their shot with the guys they've got. And I know, you know, again, if you'd said that 2 weeks ago, people would have been, you know, going down to the Rogers Center with pitchforks. But the way it's played out the last 2 weeks, they've overachieved, right? With this kind of patchwork lineup, you bring back Encarnacion, bring back Lind, bring back Laurie. It looks like a pretty good baseball team again.
Actually, Stephen, I was thinking about it. There's something I want to ask you, and I haven't had a chance really to see you since we talked about it last year. And that is, you were a guy who believed before the season last year that there was probably about a 70% chance that that Bautista was getting dealt.
Yeah.
Just when you look back at it, how close do you think they came?
I think it was a conversation. I think it was contemplated for sure.
Yep.
I think Jose last season was not a happy camper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing something about him for the magazine right now, so it's interesting you brought it up because, if you want to talk about, when they lost 14-1 to Boston, beginning of the second series after the All-Star break, that kind of felt like this is the moment the whole ship's going down.
Right.
Right, because everybody's hurt and they just got clobbered and they didn't play well the month before the All-Star break. But if you want to talk about, I'm not a big intangibles guy, and I'm not especially in baseball, the rah-rah stuff. But if you want to look at how this team held together, it's Bautista. He's having the best season. It's not going to be the biggest season statistically he's had, but this is the best season he's ever had.
Well, considering who's hitting around him and the way he's still producing, I mean, he's delivered. Like, he has delivered this year.
But Steve's right. It's not the big, it's the stolen base at Yankee Stadium. In the ninth, tied to two.
It's
right?
Two home runs in New York last Friday night, even though they lost the game with nobody hitting behind them.
It's the willingness to go to the media and say, wherever Gibby needs me. It's just that kind of stuff. Steve, I think you're bang on. It's not going to show, but he's been huge.
And the flip side of that is that he's a very influential guy in that clubhouse. Not like everybody loves him, but he's a very influential guy in that room. And he's also the guy who could have dragged this thing down single-handedly if he had chosen to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, he could have said, they didn't deliver. If they didn't do what they told me they were going to do, this thing's going down. I'm going to demand a trade. I want out of here, and I don't care. He could have said that, and a lot of guys would have said that. So that's the other side of it.
Stephen Brunt joining us to discuss the trade market as he deals with a bear market in his neck of the woods.
Very well. Very well done.
Nicely done.
Stephen, Godspeed.
See you guys.
Take care, Stephen.
Stephen Brunt. One of our favorites. A couple items just before we duck out and get ready to talk to Paul Jones next. John Farrell in the pregame has confirmed he still intends to start John Lester tomorrow against the Toronto Blue Jays, but acknowledges if John is traded by this time tomorrow, Brandon Workman will start. Well, if he's traded,
we may have to start someone else.
So that's let's clear that one up.
That is managing.
Yes. And a Leaf note, Paul Hendrick is tweeting that the Leafs and Jake Gardner appear to be closing in on a new contract. Indications point to a long-term deal.
That's pretty interesting because when I looked into it a couple weeks ago, I was told probably bridge. So maybe they've moved past that.
Okay. We'll sink our teeth into that and a few other items and keep our eyes on the Jays. You just never know, especially on this show. We've set the precedent, right? We're the trading show here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. No comment from
us. We will blow everything as out of proportion as we possibly can.
And regret nothing. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Elliot Friedman. Bob McCowan's on vacay. Primetime Sports, Sportsnet Radio Network, and 360.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the best sports talk on the planet on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Primetime Sports, Tuesday, July 29th. It's the day before the non-waiver trade deadline. Sid Sixero, Elliot Friedman. In for the vacationing, Bob McCowan. Rob Becker, legal analyst, joins us next hour. The NCAA did it again today. They keep doing it. And is this the last we've heard of Donald Sterling? Elliot prays that's the case.
Please, God, let the answer be yes.
How can the Clippers be worth more than an NFL franchise? That might happen here.
You're always worth what someone is willing to pay for you.
Microsoft CEO with more money knows what to do with. is willing to pay. Yeah. Joe Siddall will join us from Fenway Park. The Jays try and win another game against Boston. Marcus Stroman goes to the Hill this evening. Stroman has gone 14 straight innings without allowing a run. And we'll keep our eyes glued to what's going on in the baseball world. I can tell you Matt Cain, it's being reported from the San Francisco Giants, is apparently going to see Dr. James Andrews. And when you go see Dr. James Andrews,
that's not good.
That means you are jacked up potentially. So that explains the Jake Peavy deal. And who
Cut
knows?
Open.
The Giants might not be done at that. Let's talk some NBA. Jonesy's joining us. Paul Jones, Primetime Sports. What's going on, man?
All good, Sid. All good, Elliot. What's up, man?
How's the college?
Good. We started off with kind of a lousy day, but it's picked up. Sun's out now, and we're, you know, I wish I had some money in my pocket. We're close to beach volleyball courts where the cottage is, and we're going to go into town to play because my our youngest, who is 11, will be playing in the provincial beach championships in a couple of weeks.
Got nice. Got some skills, doesn't he?
So we're going to show up, this family of five, and say, hey, can we play? Knowing that the other two, us full well knowing that the other two have won provincial medals, say we just like to play for a bit.
It's like when Kyrie Irving shows up in disguise at some
exactly.
random court.
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew.
Got any spare change you want to play for?
And just destroys.
And have the little guy hit the first one into the net.
Before we dive into the NBA, Jonesy, we'll give you an opportunity to have a Jays take.
Yeah, you're making fun that the Jays should tank for the draft pick. I saw
any type of take you want. Go ahead.
No, I loved Elliott's line about. For the most part, the fans want to win.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a year ago, and the players do too. And, you know, we always say tanking happens in the boardroom, not on the court or on the ice or on the field or whatever. And, you know, just a year ago at this time, everybody was ready to go into tank, right, to get Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote on .ca probably sometime in late March, early April, who would you rather be right now, the Philadelphia 76ers or the Toronto Raptors? Raptors are going to win the division, headed for the playoffs, and Philly is going to get a high pick. You know, who knew? I mean, we weren't even thinking about Cleveland, but Philly and Orlando, who would you rather be, one of those teams? Because even if you get Andrew Wiggins, and, oh, by the way, neither of those teams did, you still have to get to where Toronto is before – you ultimately get to a championship. So who's further down the road right now? Who's farther down the road? And that's the way I look at it. I mean, even now, Cleveland is, they got Andrew Wiggins, and there's all this chatter out there about they might move him. Why? Because as you said, Elliot, players, they want to win now.
Yes.
They want to win now, and so do the fans. And I was just ludicrous to me why a lot of Toronto fans wanted to tank. I mean, even the Bruno Caboclo draft, people have to realize Masai in Toronto, maybe you got to go about it a different way. So it was just a little jab at Tank Nation, who have thrown their tanks to the side of the road and are hitchhiking now on the other bandwagon.
Well, let me just say about Bruno Caboclo is that I was watching the draft that night in the wherever I was, I think I was in the States, and like anyone else, like when that pick came up, you have your what moment. And then, of course, Fran Fraschilla says the guy's 2 years away from being 2 years away. But, you know, as soon as I finished laughing just about how all the sheer craziness of that draft pick, like at what point do you look at Ujiri and say, okay, this guy's got cachet? Like if with the job he's done and he brings back Lowry and he does everything he's done.
You gotta give him some rope on
this. At what point
do
you say, you know what? I got to trust this guy's instincts because of what he's done.
I think you do that, Elliot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right from the jump. And hey, just because some fan who has the college basketball package on Rodgers and watches every freaking game until 3 in the morning with Hawaii playing, you know, University of Hawaii Hilo, like, because you didn't see him doesn't mean the guy can't play. And to hear, I think it was one of the Jay Satur from Raptors.com, say out in Las Vegas, the same thing we said, because I got on the phone right away and talked to people, and they said, oh, yeah, we were ready to move up to take him. And Masai Ujiri told us that. People were ready to take this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, it's one of those picks where you get him and people go, what? They outsmarted us. Where did they find this guy? And people were on to him, and he would not have lasted. All these Twitter GMs out there saying, oh, you could have got him at 59. Or no, you couldn't. Okay? So part of good drafting, and Masai's a scout, as you said, Elliot, You got to give him a break. And the guy hasn't missed yet. And I got to tell you, I got news for you, fans. All GMs miss. It's like baseball. Just make sure you get enough hits to, you know, 3 out of 10 in baseball and you're an all-star. So all you need is enough hits to keep you in the upper echelon and you're fine. And you know, if you're the Raptor fan base, you got to give this kid a chance.
I mean, Elliot talks about cachet.
By the way, just one slight thing.
Go ahead.
Chris Johnston of Sportsnet reporting Jake Gardiner, a 5-year extension with the Maple Leafs, $20.25 million.
Whoa.
Just got to mention that right now. Chris Johnston with the scoop.
Sportsnet's Chris Johnston, breaking news.
Are we drinking from the cup this year?
I think that pretty much cements it. I don't know about you guys with Roman Polak
there. I'm sure
there.
Jake Gardiner will be drinking from cups tonight to celebrate $20 million.
Jonesy, we got about 4 minutes.
Okay.
You mentioned Wiggins. I don't think I've been in this building to talk about the LeBron contract itself at 2 years with an opt-out after this year. Am I the only one who thinks it's borderline insane to trade Wiggins and trust this guy again in the city of Cleveland? Am I the only guy?
If you want to keep him, Sid, then you've got to win. And so if that means one of the most overrated things, and I guess it goes back to where we started our discussion, is building for the future. It's like baseball. It drives me crazy about the future, the future, the future. Hey, sometimes the future morphs into the present, and you go for it, as Elliot said. You go for it now. You win now. And if you have LeBron, he says, I got 1 year. Let's see what we can do. You might have to sacrifice some stuff to try and win now to keep the guy. Just the way I look at it. I mean, sometimes you got to jump for the ring, and this might be Cleveland's chance to do it with LeBron coming back.
Jonesy, as always, we appreciate the time. The August 8th unveiling of LeBron in Akron, tickets were free to people in Akron, and they went in an hour. So it's going to be quite the show when LeBron goes back. It's too short a contract for me in terms of comfort with Wiggins. But Jonesy, I know what you're saying. You got to bring in some help for LeBron. I hear you, but I think this is risky business right now.
It is, you know, if you're Cleveland, that they've got a decision to make. And I love, speaking of decisions, I like the fact that LeBron decided to go with 23 and not 6. I really do.
You know who doesn't like it? The Cavaliers themselves, because if they had to sell a bunch of sixes in Cavs jerseys, they would have made a lot more money.
Oh, yeah.
And the old 23 is standard now, unless you burnt them.
Now you say we've got a special jersey that for LeBron's return. It's the LeBron return 23, not the original LeBron 23.
Okay.
They'll find some way to sell it.
They'll spend
for sure.
They'll find some way to sell it.
All the players are upset, too, because all that money goes into a pot, and everybody gets a check cut. So if he would have gone with 6, then, you know, everybody's getting a little extra change in their pocket.
Yeah, I hear.
Now, did you watch any of the Team Canada stuff from overseas?
I just saw bits and pieces, Friege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough to tell against some of those teams, though,
right? It is. And you're in a developmental phase as opposed to, you know, we're prepping for a World Cup or... It's important for them to get some time together, though, because let's face it, you're going into a pretty good stretch right now with Canada basketball, where you can do some damage in upcoming events. You know, Olympics coming up in 16 and 20. There's some World Cups in there. You got to get these kids playing a little bit together so they can feel comfortable with one another.
Jonesy, good stuff as always. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Take care, man.
There's Paul Jones. Again, Jake Gardiner has signed a 5-year extension with the Leafs. This is breaking news, courtesy of Sportsnet's Chris Johnston. $20.25 million. That's an annual, I'm assuming, I don't know if that's the cap hit. Average salary is $4.05
million. That's the cap hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got some tings to talk about. We'll do that next. We'll keep an eye on the wire, see what the Jays are up to. Also, Rob Becker, legal analyst, will join us. Joe Siddle, who will be calling the Jays and Red Sox, alongside Jerry Howarth from Fenway. He joins us. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Elliot Friedman. This is Primetime Sports and the Sportsnet Radio Network and 360.